And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan.
Okay.
It's December 27th. It's Friday. Some people may note that it's 80 years.
Big listening.
80 years after Battle of the Bulge.
That's right.
Yeah.
Battle of the Bulge. Big worldwide thing that only you and I would remember. We're fresher in remembering that. We weren't, there, but it was fresh in our history books compared to some of our listeners who might be driving down the road, whatever their age, and listening to this. But there's a lot
of things. That's a good point, because what we bring to this podcast, we're not sports experts. We're probably not even political experts. But what we bring to this podcast and to you, our listeners, who may be driving down the road, is basically seniority. I am over 80. My pal Dan is almost 70. So we've lived through, I remember Harry Truman. That was 1950. So my point is that we bring an historical perspective to whatever's going on in America. And that's what we're doing. When we make a comment on Musk or Trump or somebody else, we're making it more based on 150 years of combined experience between Dan and I, living through presidents, several world wars, Cold Wars, Bay of Pigs invasion, et cetera, et cetera. So the reason you want to listen to us and the reason you want to pass this podcast on to your friends is because many of you don't have that history.
Exactly. Yeah.
I estimate that most of our listeners were born in the 80s. I was born in the 40s, 1942.
Yeah. And I in the 50s. 1955, like that great car, the 1955 Chevy.
So my point is, listeners, is pass this on, because we're not trying to pose as political experts or political pundits or sports experts or economic experts, although in many cases we are. We're not trying to pose as that. We're trying to bring what Truman used to call an historical perspective. Harry Truman. See, some of you don't even know who Harry Truman is. Well, I've been to the Truman Library. I was allowed to go inside the Truman Library, put plastic gloves on, and examine, for example, the document where Truman said, go ahead, drop the bomb.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't remember, that was a bomb that we dropped on Japan, on Hiroshima.
Yeah, you wrote a book about that.
Well, I wrote a fiction book about it. But the real point is that's what we bring to this podcast, historical perspectives on what's going on today. So sometimes
equally,
you say, go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, equally important, though, for somebody that's driving or sitting in front of their computer or on their phone or driving down the road, equally important, though, nobody should say, oh, these are a couple old guys. You know what? When it comes to what's going on in the world today, I'm going to give examples. 2 years ago when AI first came out, you said, hey, Dan, I love that you always say, hey, Dan, you said, let's dive into AI. We were out front and up front hosting meetings free to people to learn about AI 2 years ago. On the technology side, also, you're an expert witness in the courtroom. On the political side, I do interviews with Fox News radio hosts across the country. I'm going to do it again Monday because they like my perspective at Fox News radio. So our listeners would say, well, the guy's got there. Plus, on the sports world, I referee small college and high school basketball, and we stay close to sports. We're not experts in anything, but you always say we're pretty smart in a lot of stuff, and add that historical perspective you just talked about.
So if you're driving down the road, that's a reason to listen to us and a reason to pass our thoughts on to other people like yourself, because it's important. Now, my thought today, among other things, of course, is Musk and the F-35 Boeing jet and drones. Now, I believe Musk is right. Musk is saying the next war is a war of drones. It won't be a war of manned aircraft. So he thinks we should stop building these manned aircraft like the F-35, the Boeing jet, and focus on drones and what do you call hyperballistic missiles, where you can launch a missile from, you know, Hayes, Kansas, and hit somebody in Siberia.
Yeah, or Greenland, should we ever own Greenland, even closer.
But Musk's point is that, and I think he's right, is that it's a drone battle. I mean, if you see these drones that are manned remotely, right, and how they can launch a missile, I mean, this is incredible. And what he's right, he said these drones, you know, we can build thousands of drones, but it's hard to replace really good pilots.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And I could see where Musk, a man of technology, and again, as I always say, he's from the future. He teleported back from 200 years from now because he's that smart. But, and I know the government, not that it's a, you know, totally Elon Musk idea. The government has been working on fighter jets that are driven by some guy sitting in a control room behind a computer screen. However, I wonder, and I'm just throwing this out to wonder, to banter, since that's the name of our podcast, Banter. In certain situations, is it better to have the historical experience and perspective of a fighter pilot versus a drone who might not have learned how to handle a combat situation or what happens? And can a fighter pilot make decisions that maybe a drone couldn't make? That's a thought.
Well, his argument, of course, is a drone can make any decision, and a better decision, a quicker decision than a pilot can make, because drones are, you know, could be run by computers remotely. So I see his point exactly, in that you have to look forward in terms of military, in terms of looking backwards. And if you look backwards, you know, jets were fine. But if you look forwards, you know, drones, now whether it's an unmanned jet or an unmanned drone, there's still a drone. If there's nobody in the plane, it's a drone.
Right.
So the issue there is that the unmanned weapon, if you will, is superior because of the fact that you've got a lot, you've got the ability to collect more information and analyze it faster. So what is a guy in a jet doing except maybe taking off and landing?
Yeah.
Now, I think Musk, you know, Musk says things that are so right, but maybe hard to implement. Obviously, Boeing and the government's not going to stop building F-35s.
Right.
But what he's really saying is that at least if you go forward, allocate your resources to more drones, because that's an unmanned aircraft, and you can build aircraft. You just can't build pilots. If you run out of pilots, you can't get any more for, you know, until you have some more babies and train them. But right. Drones, you can build them by the thousands.
Yeah, and pilots, you know, for years and years, we had pilots that had actual wartime experience, whether it was World War II, Korea, Vietnam, you know, what happened in Iraq and those wars in the Middle East. But down today, we just don't have a lot of, they go to training missions, but they really don't have the actual experience that perhaps a drone, an AI could learn through simulation that a human might not have. You know, he is so smart. Musk is so smart, and he's got technology companies. I mean, he's going to send people to Mars, hopefully in our lifetime, that maybe he offers, rather than just sit an armchair quarterback telling the Department of Defense or Boeing what to do, maybe he says, I'll open up my doors. This is my challenge to Elon Musk now. Mr. Musk, I'll call you. Open up your doors to your minds and your technology like you did with Tesla. Remember, Bob, you brought up with Tesla, he offered up some of the technology in the vehicles for the automated driving. Open up your organizations to help the military and Boeing to make this place we call home safer and better.
Oh, I think he'd be happy to do that, but it wouldn't be received.
Well, that's the challenge, is unless he does it in a way that doesn't turn people off.
No, that's not the point at all. To me, it's not a behavior issue. No, it has to do with the fact that if a person is used to doing something, change is hard. And you've got people that have been fighting wars with certain weapons for years, and changing is hard, not only from a behavioral perspective, but from an infrastructure. They've got an organization, they've got trained people, they've got buildings, they've got technology, they've got computers set up. So all this is set up to support the current concept of fighting with an F-35, like with an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a missile that can travel 10,000 miles, what do you need an aircraft carrier for? You don't need one. You can bomb anywhere, anybody, anywhere in the world. That's his point.
Yeah.
When you see an aircraft carrier somewhere, they're pretty formidable and they look bad, but they would not last at all in a drone war. The drones would be all over them. They'd be destroyed. So you have to look forward in terms of a new war. That's what he's saying. And we know this even in the Desert War, we took planes off from that air base in Missouri and bombed
Warrensburg, Knob Noss, Warrensburg, Missouri.
And we dropped bombs from those airplanes in Iraq.
Iraq, yeah. And remember how amazing it always was that they had a camera in the nose of the bomb and you could just track the bomb going right and you'd see the building? And it's always was amazing.
That's what he's saying, is that should be the direction, right, of the military. So, but yeah, military, you've got people that really didn't grow up around drones. They grew up around, they're still military. I'm sure they believe you win the war by fighting men on the ground.
Yeah, they don't necessarily trust Elon Musk and how they see him.
That's my Musk thought. He is so far ahead. And by the way, going back again to what we talked about yesterday, this AI company is called Grok.
Grok
comes from a book called Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein. And in that book, a person comes from the future, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I told you I downloaded the book yesterday and started reading it again.
Because your bride, Helen, gave you that book, the first book she ever gave you. She was trying to impress you, and she knew of your great mind for reading. She gave you that book, and here we are.
Well, I was reading a lot of science fiction those days. Isaac Asimov and people like that. Stranger in a Strange Land was a very advanced science fiction book. And, of course, if you followed Robert Heinlein, he wrote other books, and it became a cult. Now, I don't know how many of our listeners have ever even heard of Robert Heinlein, but if you haven't, go right now to Amazon and buy at least the first book, Stranger in a Strange Land. I bought it yesterday on Kindle, only to find out that I'd bought it 3 years ago and already had it. Thank God Amazon's got good servers. So that's my only thought on Musk today. He is far ahead of other people. So I did notice that the Canadians are going down to Mar-a-Lago.
Yes, they're going to some of the ministers a few of the people quit, the financial prime minister and two or three levels of they were supposed to come out with a report on Canadian financial scenario.
Yeah.
They quit. So these are the replacements. So these are they're probably been in the government, I'm sure. They're going to go down and talk to Trump.
No, I understand they're going to talk to Trump.
Trade.
Do we know specifically what they're going to talk about?
Well, one of the things I've read, and I don't know specifically 100% for sure, but it's about border protection, how to tighten up the security, because they're concerned about the tariffs. They don't want to have a tariff war between Canada and the United States.
Well, let's separate the two. Border security is different than tariffs, right?
Yes. Well, okay. Trump relates them. He wants He wants them to tighten their border security. So then
yeah, I get that. But just talk about border security. What does that mean? I mean, are Canadians getting into the United States or
well,
American citizens getting into Canada?
You know, after obviously the whole world knows that Trump's going to tighten our southern border, Mexico. So now the bad guys, whoever they are from wherever they are, the bad guys, as Trump would call them, are going to look at, okay, let's go into Canada and come in through the northern border.
Because I mean, you look at Canada.
Huh?
How do they get into Canada?
Well, you know, they could find a way to get into Canada if they find a way to get into Mexico. I don't know how Canada is tight on their when you enter their country, but that's a huge border, bigger than obviously our southern border. And that I'm surprised it hasn't been looked at, because if you want to smuggle something across the border, you can go through the Rocky Mountains, I guess, and, you know, Montana or
is the border insecure now? I mean, I've not heard of any immigrants coming in the United States from Canada. Have you?
They've caught some. I know that I once refereed a basketball game in Detroit, and Detroit is right there. You could go across the border there. I think it's under a tunnel back then, and it's very tight. I was surprised at how tight the security is between Canada, but that's just one spot in a big city. So I don't know how they do it across the rest of the span.
Have you heard of any immigrant coming into the United States from Canada?
Have I ever heard of any?
Yes. Have you read any reports?
None that are on the top of my mind, but I'm confident that they have.
I haven't read any reports on it at all. So,
but there's no attention paid to it, because that's not where the headlines are. You brought up the other day headlines, right?
Yeah.
And headlines are so important. So we're focused on the southern border, but now...
Well, see, that's kind of my point, is that all of a sudden border security with Canada has become important to Trump, apparently. I've never seen a single report that says there's an issue. So when he says border security, what is he really talking about? See, I think he's talking about not immigrants, but fentanyl, drugs coming across the border.
Probably. Well, that's part of keeping it secure.
He's talking about that, that's easy because fentanyl comes in from China. China is very close relationship with Canada, so the Chinese people have got this big arrangement with Canada to bring boats into the Vancouver area that could have fentanyl on it. Then the fentanyl comes across the border. So I think that's what Trump is talking about, is drugs. Now there's another area of drugs which are not fentanyl, but it's like, for example, I know people that need insulin, and they buy their insulin from Canada because it's one-fifth the price of insulin in the United States.
Right.
And so you've got those type of, we'll call them prescription drugs, that do come here from Canada, because Canadian prescription drug prices, as I understand it, are way less expensive than the United States.
Yes, in a number of different drugs. People have recommended go online and buy all types of prescription drugs online.
But I think, Trump has another point. I mean, I don't know anybody ever going to attack Canada. Maybe they would, but he thinks, you know, we can help Canada defend itself. I've never even heard of Canada having a military, do they?
You know, you never really do hear about the Canadian military, do you? I'm sure they do. They have they have a police, Fort National. They have the Mounties, you know, the Canadian Mounties.
Right.
I think that's their main thing. But overall, I think that the Canadian crime rate, we probably don't hear about it, but it's probably not as robust as the American. But, you know, it's interesting. I think we will. Of course, we're breaking news, and that's why people should listen to Banter with Bob and Dan, and we want them to write in webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Plus, importantly, hit your like, follow, subscribe to what we're doing here, because what we try to do, you talked about headlines previously, and now we're going to see Canada in the headlines. You wait and see. You heard it here. Everybody's going to start hearing about Canadian border, and we'll be talking about that. One of the things you and I try to do is we don't buy into the social media headline of the moment, but we try to gain some facts. We're not always perfect, but what does our historical perspective tell us? What is our 150 years of life together tell us, is that, hey, get the facts. Look into the facts. Don't just buy the first thing you see on a social media post. Give you an example.
What do we import from Canada?
Well, oil is the huge
Right.
A huge thing that I'm sure Trump wants to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. We
and
import
natural
oil from
resources.
Canada, right. And that surprises me that we import oil from Canada.
Well, they've got, I think, you know, you had the Alaska pipeline. I think they've got large, substantial underground volumes of oil. Now, it's the type of oil that I think is not as, it needs to be refined more. I think Canadian oil is not as pure and easy to produce for vehicles as
Years ago, and if you're listening, you can Google this. Years ago, maybe within the last 10 years, we were asked, the United States was asked to bid on a pipeline from, would have gone from Vancouver over almost to Ontario. And it would have brought oil in from anywhere and then could it be distributed back from there in the United States. And we were like, we didn't bid on it. We said, no, we're not going to do it. Well, who do you think bid on it and got the right to build it? China, right? So I think in the back of my mind, and I haven't Googled that lately because this goes back a few years, the back of my mind, that's what's on Trump's mind because he knows that right now you've got a relationship between China and Canada that on in terms of oil that could be detrimental to us. And I think he wants to work on that issue too. Now, what do we export to Canada? What do we send over there?
I do not know.
Yeah,
do you
either.
know?
No, I don't offhand. Now, I also understand that we bring in cars from Canada. We build cars in Canada and bring them in.
Yes. We could ask our faithful friend Google, what's our number one export to Canada? Let me ask.
Yeah,
hey,
ask
Google,
it.
What is the number one export from the United States to Canada?
On the website biz.doc.gov, they say, in 2021, of the $307 billion in U.S. exports to Canada, the top commodity sectors were machinery and mechanical appliances, 22.2%. Transportation equipment, 17.0%.
Yeah, we can't hear it, Dan. So again, you
okay.
need to tell us what it says.
What Google says is $304 billion, mostly mechanical appliances, transportation equipment, chemicals, plastic, rubber, and leather. Wow. $304 billion.
A month?
$1 billion equals.
No, hey, Google, stop. Google's trying to help with everything I say. No,
yeah,
a year.
I heard it was $1 to $2 billion a day.
Well, that would make sense because she said $304 billion.
Right, right.
So that would be about right. You know, it's interesting you mentioned China trying to get their grip on Canada. And the other topic that Donald Trump is talking about is the Panama Canal. And China is trying to buy up land and get their grips on that whole Panama Canal area and get a relationship with Panama. So that's probably why Trump, in his mind, he thinks China's, which I'm sure he's being advised also, we got to pay attention to what they're doing. Thus, the AI movement he's talking about, thus Panama Canal, Canada. Something I read just this morning, don't have 100% facts, but listen to this. Greenland, you know, he's talking about buying Greenland.
Right.
Russia, on their television networks, which is pretty much state-controlled, they are in agreement and they are supporting Donald Trump buying Greenland because their quote unquote says that the world in the future should be divided up into countries that so that the spheres of influence are fewer.
In other words, he'll let us buy Greenland and then if we let him buy the Ukraine.
Yeah, so that's part of it. What it is Russia wants to make acquisitions, so they're supporting Trump acquisition.
Yeah, that's certainly a viewpoint that I can see Trump would get behind, that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, tying up, I just saw this, and it's a super sad story out of New York about the undocumented immigrant that lit a woman on fire on the subway. It's you
right.
know, heard about that. The interesting point, again, we're talking about headlines, and you and I try to get the facts, not always just jump on the headlines. But I've seen all over social media Biden costs young girl her life. But now the facts are coming out that we don't know when this guy came in. His name's Sebastian Zepeda. I'm sure he will meet his maker, which is probably not the good Lord. But here's the thing. He entered the United States for the first time in 2018 during the Trump administration. Now, in a good move, the Trump administration, I think within a few weeks, sent him back to Mexico, but he came back in the country. We don't know how or when, but he crossed in through Arizona, was deported back, but he crossed in originally during Trump. We don't know whether he came back in, when or where, whether it was, you know, before January 2021 when Biden took over or after. Yeah. But the point being, the headlines are trying to, again, on his way out, make Joe Biden and the policies bad, rather than getting the facts. The facts are we've got to address the border and the crime, and so Trump's going to go that. So the good thing is Trump's policies are going to move forward in a better way, we trust. But people, the headlines, you know, to our listeners, follow Banter. We'll try to get the facts, not just the headlines.
What about the plane crash in Debrecen, Kazakhstan?
I can't even say that word. But the bottom line is, it looks like from multiple sources that Russia shot that plane down, mistaking it as some type of an attack plane.
Really?
They've shown the fuselage. Now, again,
how do they know Russia shot the missile up?
Well, according to sources, which are pretty reliable, and there were 33 people killed and 20, I just saw 29 survived. I don't know all the details. Again, it's just coming in and we always try to get the facts, but they found bullet holes in, and
well, they're not bullet holes, they're shrapnel holes.
Shrapnel holes it was shot down by a missile.
You probably know when a missile explodes, it explodes near the airplane, surfaced air.
Very good.
Explodes near the airplane. When it explodes, the missile contains thousands of small, I'll just call it steel pellets, about the size of your thumbnail. And they're shot out of the missile at high speed.
Ha!
Hits the airplane. That's why when you see that tail image, you see many, many little small holes.
Yeah,
that's
good
shrapnel
stuff.
Holes, not bullet holes. Some people might think bullets are actually they probably go out of the missile at a speed faster than a bullet. When the missile explodes, it just boom. So all of that shrapnel goes out. But I did not know that it was a Russian surfaced air or whose surfaced air missile it was. I don't know how they can tell that from the airplane. But by the way, that plane was made in Canada. It was an Embraer, Embraer. I've flown on those Canadian planes before. They're nice aircraft. American Airlines uses them, as does Delta. And I don't know where they're built in Canada, but they're a nice short haul airplane.
Are they a smaller aircraft?
Well, they have different versions. The ones I've flown on, well, the small one will hold 80 people, and the high one will hold like 150 people, or the large one.
Huh.
Yeah, so Canada builds, it's called Embraer, Embraer airline. That was an Embraer aircraft sold to, I guess, whoever these people are. The thing I understand is that it might have been flying in controlled airspace and it didn't identify itself.
I did hear that they were trying to avoid weather. And they did move into an area that probably they didn't recognize, which is sad.
But it doesn't make any sense to me in this age of technology where you would make a mistake between a military and a commercial aircraft.
Yeah, because, you know, you got the transponder that's pinging out.
Whether or not it was a Russian or whoever did it, to me, it's if somebody said, look, we've had other mistakes like this before. We had that Korean plane get shot down. I think that might have been attributed to us years ago. But so maybe somebody made a mistake or it was a horrible, horrible, mistake, obviously, right? And of course, no one will step forward and say it was them, more than likely, but it will come out. They'll be able to identify somehow with the forensic analysis of the way the explosion occurred to assign a certain type of missile to it, and therefore assign what country it may have come from. But
Yeah, and
there's no excuse
hopefully
for it.
we will get the story of the lives that were lost, and that will the whole world will say we need to stop this. Maybe that's part of the whole, in God's great plan, God doesn't want that war going on. Maybe that's part of the message of why we need to stop, because some little 6-year-old girl that was flying to see her grandparent in wherever it was headed, or there might have been people that will make a difference in the importance of ending that war. And I hope Trump, as he said, he wants to end it in one day. He needs to get them together, and he needs to do that. But here we are. We're kind of the end of the year, and a lot of people this year, people that in our lifetime, you talked about Harry Truman, have passed away. I came across, and it's like a little over 2-minute video. If you're with your ban will banter, you can say you don't like, but I'd like to play this because there's some names that in my lifetime have been significant. So I want to play the video, let our listeners, and we can comment while it's playing really
Sure, play it.
quick.
Play
Here
it.
we go.
Fire
Hold
it. Fire
on.
away.
Here we go. Hold on. Here we go. Here is the people and the lives, famous deaths. Hate to the sadness of that, but there's some people in this list.
I just see a black screen.
Well, it should be
There we
coming.
go.
Terry Garr, an actress.
Don't know her. Telephone died.
Hello.
Yeah, here's it. Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart, Martin Mull.
Yeah, Bob Newhart, I watched for years on TV.
Yeah, Donald
And Donald
Sutherland.
Sutherland, famous movie called The Needle.
Here he is, the Rocky movies. How many people? Carl Weathers, Apollo
Yeah.
Creed.
A lot of actors. Do they have any real people in here or just actors?
Shelley Duvall. Yeah, Richard Lewis. He was a famous of
God
recent times.
judge
Louis Gossett. I forgot that he passed away. Yeah, he
you. Yeah.
played God. Now here's a
Never
guy,
could
Steve
yield
Lawrence.
to me.
Wasn't he married to Edie Gourmet? John Amos. John Amos had a great voice.
These are all actors. Do they have any real people
There's,
in
stay
here?
tuned. They've got other people. Stay tuned.
There is a funny guy, Roger Corman. Oh my God, right?
Cheetah Rivera, wasn't she a famous even before my time? She now hear this voice, James Earl Jones. This
Yeah,
is CNN.
I've seen him in a bunch of movies.
Quincy Jones, he was
Help me make it through the night.
Kris Kristofferson. How many women did he woo
I
and
don't
with his
know.
music? David Sanborn, Liam Payne is a young down in South America. Tito, the Jackson 5, Michael Jackson's older brother. Country music star, Toby Keith.
He died?
Here, yeah.
My
Willie
God.
Mays. This is my all-time favorite baseball player, Willie the Say Hey
Yeah.
Kid. And then Pete Rose. Hope he
Yeah.
makes it now into the Hall of Fame. Jerry West, he was the emblem of the NBA logo. That was his body. Dikembe Mutombo,
I
famous
found
shot
James
blocker.
Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder.
O.J. Simpson, who didn't watch that trial and chase? Joe Lieberman, one of the most famous independents.
Yeah, I remember him.
The bill is passed.
Sheila Jackson Lee, a great black woman served in Congress. Ethel Kennedy. Think about it. Robert F. Kennedy's wife.
There's
Martin
a
Luther
great book
King's
on the
son.
Kennedys called Rose,
Chuck
R-O-S-E.
Woolery, he always said, I will be back in two and two.
well.
Charles Osgood. Now, there's a radio guy.
Going back to the Kennedys, get the book called Rose, a great book on the Kennedy dynasty. R-O-S-E.
Bill Donahue. Richard Simmons. He was Mr. Energy. He was one of the early fitness guys.
By the way, can you hear me when I talk?
Yeah. Speak up loud, though, because you have to really speak loud. It's done.
All right, great.
But some of those lives, the ones that jump out to me, don't try this at home. We are professionals. Let me shut that off. The ones that jump out to me, the loss that really struck me is Willie Mays was a big one. James Earl Jones, this is CNN. And, you know, James Earl Jones, remember in the movie, one of the greatest all-time movie, Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner? James Earl Jones said, baseball, Ray, they will come, Ray, they will come. That's what we could say about our podcast, Bob. Banter, Bob, they will come. They will come, Bob.
So, got anything else for us today?
You know, you have to really be watching the video side. Now, especially in that last segment, the names showed up. You've got to go to our YouTube to watch this in video or Facebook, Banter with Bob and Dan.
How do you find us on YouTube?
On YouTube, there is a link that's available on LinkedIn under Robert Sherwood or Dan Snell. You can find us on YouTube on Facebook. You go to Banter and join and follow us, Banter with Bob and Dan. Banter with Bob and Dan. And on YouTube, it's under the Zip Daniels Media. Zip Daniels Media is
the... So they search on Zip Daniels Media?
Zip Daniels Media, and it'll have all the podcasts.
Is that the term they search on to find us?
Yes, on YouTube, Zip Daniels Media. Or you could probably put in Banter with Bob and Dan, and it will find that because of the specific... They're all labeled Banter with Bob and Dan.
Do you know how many clicks you're getting on your LinkedIn?
It looked like about in a quick check, starting out about the first three that are up there, about 75 to 100. So that's pretty good for not having exposure.
Right. Those are clicks over to the video, right?
Views. Those are views on the YouTube page.
On the video. That's great. All right. Well, wonderful. We're picking it up. We'll get to, I think we'll get to 10,000 before May.
Yeah. The important thing is that people want to heckle us or banter with us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. They want to be sure and follow this wherever they're seeing it right now. Follow it, subscribe, like it, write in.
We have a LinkedIn expert, some lady that charges several thousand dollars for consulting on LinkedIn. She'll be with us on May 31st. We're going to do a podcast at 12 o'clock. Noon, and then we'll be publishing it. But she is a consultant, and she's going to come on and tell us why LinkedIn is so good.
Yes. That's next Tuesday, the 31st. Tuesday, the last day of the year, last podcast of the year.
I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I'm kind of a negative on LinkedIn unless you're looking for a job. But I post things all the time, and, you know, people read them. I get, 500 people read your posts, you know, but. If I put a post on LinkedIn that said, you send me $1 and I'll send you $5, I'll bet you I would not get a single dollar.
Well, I don't suggest you try that because that would go viral. I think that would probably go viral.
Yeah,
but I think LinkedIn has more power and strength, but that's why we banter, right? You didn't believe in it. I believe LinkedIn has the power, and here we're going to bring a professional expert onto the world.
I'm surprised. I mean, how much she charges. I think she charges $2,500 just to go through and update your LinkedIn profile, which I think is a lot of money.
Yeah.
We'll see. She's going to be on. So look for the May 31st podcast. So that's all I got today.
Or December 31st.
December 31st, right.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
So a lot of stuff going on. You know, Biden, of course, he's just waiting around now, I guess, to go on his vacation. And I do wonder kind of like who's making the decisions, but maybe nobody is right now. Maybe there's no decisions that have to be made.
Well, we hope there's nothing major that comes up that he has to. Yeah, obviously, he's got advisors.
The challenge for Trump now, that he made promises, and everybody has written these promises down, right? And the one I think that's going to be the first one is he says he's going to end the war on the first day, right? Didn't he say that?
Yeah, well, he said he would end it maybe before he gets inaugurated.
Well, I mean, I think that's people are going to remember that promise. He's going to have to pull that off.
Yeah.
And
you and I both, you know, I have had some reservations more. Obviously, my book and my platform, The Winsome Candidate, yeah, is more about a positive approach to public service, serving whether it's Washington or somebody's hometown that's listening. However, we both had hope for Trump in his new administration because he's got a little more experience and he's done something. I've noticed, though, and I was very disappointed, I'll just say, Mr. President-elect, on Christmas Day, you don't go on and attack people, even though if that's how you feel. He went on and attacked, you know, he started out with Merry Christmas to all the leftist, extreme, bad people. Okay, you're going to talk about being a president who unifies. You've said that. You talk about promises you just talked about.
Okay.
Donald Trump promised he's going to unify the country.
Who do you attack? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, he attacked Democrats in the legal system, and I could find it, but I don't have time to bring it, pop it right back
why
up.
Why did he attack them?
It was on Truth Social.
Why, not where? Why did he attack them?
Don't ask me why.
Well, I'll tell you why, according to the same what you read, right? Yeah, they attacked him because they released killers from death row. He said you shouldn't have done that.
Bingo. And that's a mistaken word that he put. They didn't get released. Wait a minute. Fact of the matter, point of order, sir. Trump is calling a pardon where they are commuted to life in prison.
Oh, that was in the article.
Like they were released.
Yeah, no, in the article.
Their killers aren't released.
No, Dan, I understand that. And the article is very clear about that. He still didn't like it.
I can understand that.
And I agree with him. I think commuting these sentences from death row to life without parole really means that we're going to pay another $80,000 a year per person until these people die.
And I agree with that. I agree, unless there's extreme circumstances. However, there are people that hang, just like I'm sure they hang on your word and my word, every word. There are people that hang, and I say that tongue in cheek. Yeah. There are people that hang on every single thing that Donald Trump does, all right, and says, and you cannot be inaccurate if you're the leader of the most free world, the most powerful guy.
You know, that's your belief, and I don't disagree. You certainly have your right to your own belief right now. The fundamental question in my mind, whether it's Trump or anybody else, is, are we as a nation in favor of capital punishment? Yes or no? You might think about that. We'll talk about it the next time. But some people say, well, I'm in favor of it in terms of extenuating circumstances, but no one really is able to describe that. So I think it's a binary question. You're really just in favor of killing them if they've done something horrible or not killing them, right?
Yeah.
And actually, I think putting them on death row for like 10, 15, 20 years while they wait for the justice system to work through, I think that's got to be almost as horrible as killing them. But
yeah, well, it doesn't really serve anybody, though. You know, because of our historical perspective, I remember well Gunsmoke and some of the old Westerns. And if somebody was a horse thief or stole cattle, they hung them right there. They didn't even go to trial. They just hung them on the prairie in a tree.
So what's your opinion, Dan? Are you in favor of capital punishment?
I would lean, obviously, there's circumstances around it. I would lean towards, we should revive capital punishment.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I've got a great story on capital punishment about the governor of Kansas that I'm going to tell the next time.
Ah, very good.
I personally talked to the governor. He was the youngest governor of Kansas. And when the two guys who killed those people out in Western Kansas, they made the movie about them. They got out of jail, went to Western Kansas, killed people.
Yeah.
And eventually we're on. I got a great story because I talked to the governor about that. I'm going to save it for the next time because it's kind of an interesting story that I have personal knowledge of. All right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. See, that's a historical perspective. So, folks, if you want to write us webtalkwithbob@gmail.com, be sure and like, subscribe, and follow this. Share it. Tell your friends. Say, listen to these two seasoned. We're not old. Don't be calling us old. We're seasoned in life. Historical perspective. Share this with somebody and say, what do you think of this Bob and Dan and their banter? That's all
okay,
I got.
Guys. Okay. Guys and gals, see you later. Bye-bye.